Psalm 12. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side, the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. And now Romans 3, 9 through 20. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not before their eyes. Now we know that we're under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Lord, open our eyes that we may see your words, hear them in our ears, and practice them. And we pray that we will close our mouths with any utterance that would take anything away from your words and substitute our own. We pray that we may speak the truth to one another and mainly to you. For you see in heaven and you understand and you know our hearts within us. Hear us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember Liza Doolittle's rebuke of suitor Freddie Armstrong Hill in the Broadway show My Fair Lady, which included this memorable line in the song Show Me? Words, words, words. I'm so sick of words. She wanted the guy to take some action instead of merely verbalizing his sentiments. Don't just stand there talking. Well, perhaps we can understand her frustration. We all know people who say they feel a certain way about you and express in words what they plan to do about it, but who never seem to be able to back it up with performance. Words, words, words indeed. I'm so sick of words. Still, notwithstanding the banality of talk alone, it would not be wise for either Liza or you to consider verbal expression alone as valueless. Words, after all, do express the character of the speaker producing them, don't they? They do matter. and should not be discounted purely because they sometimes are not coupled with action. At the same time, there is an even more serious abuse of talk that must be recognized. I'm thinking about times when words display plain old sin, telling a straight out lie. But not only falsehood, flattering, double talking, prideful boasting. You should be properly sick of those words. Tonight you are looking at David's psalm, in which, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he charts for you a clear path of judgment for people who sin when they talk. God in heaven is not only repulsed by people's deeds, but also by their words that often display a complete repudiation of his commandments. And if they don't back up their words with proper action, he may be counted upon to back up his word of judgment. And our proposition then tonight is just this: the insincerity of man and the sincerity of God. Both affirmations tell the truth about the state of affairs upon this earth, and should cause you to avoid the first and be thankful for and gratefully receive the second. First, then, the insincerity of man. Listen again to the psalmist's lamentation in verse 1. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Not men. Man. He's appalled by the way people behave themselves. David simply can't find a godly one among the entire crop of humans. He does know that there are some faithful ones, presumably in Israel, the church of God. But when he looks at the rest of mankind, the faithful are not to be found. And he properly cries out to Yahweh for relief because of this deplorable situation. He needs God to save him from man's insincerity that threatens even the righteous. For the wicked simply cannot be trusted. And their words, particularly, David says, are evil. He goes on then to spell that out. So pay attention to the particularities of this situation facing David. People's words. The first thing he says is that people lie. They just lie. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor, writes the psalmist. Now, this is more than mere distortion of the truth, because the Hebrew verb is considerably more comprehensive. It actually means emptiness. So David is deploring not only outright telling of untruth, he's talking also about insincerity, about empty talk, meaningless, valueless babbling. And you can understand him, can't you? Words that have no backing in reality. You faced that, haven't you? Perhaps you must confess that you have misused your faculty of speech that way yourself. Well, it's sin, my friends, plain and simple. And it needs to be forgiven and forsaken by the faithful when even they are guilty of it. People lie. Then he goes on to say that people flatter. With flattering lips, they speak. Here David gets into motivation. Talk that is designed to prosper oneself. Not the well-being of my neighbor, my well-being. And to achieve that, I will flatter him, and he will surely be on my side. I will use words as bargaining chips for my own selfish purposes. Sin again. Then he says that people deceive. They lie, they flatter, they deceive. That is, they find words calculated to convince us that wrong is right. But it is utter deception. We meet that so clearly today, and you'll think that I'm on a ride here, but I have to talk about again the abortion controversy in our land. It's not murdering a human being, because what is in her womb is only a fetus, just organic tissue. And what we're doing with abortion is terminating an unwanted pregnancy for the sake of the well-being of the mother. And in the face of such horror, we too cry with David, "Help, Lord." And lastly, people not only lie, flatter, and deceive, they also boast. Here's where the tongue comes in. Verse 4, "With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us?" We will triumph with our tongues. So the saying is reversed, and now the means justifies the end. We will use words and boast about our deeds, whether or not they conform to the law of God. All we have to do is boast. This is what we want to do. And who can say us nay? Certainly not God. We're free from that burden, and we may do all our good pleasure. Our lips are with us. That means we own our lips. We claim autonomy, a right to say whatever we want. Free speech. Who is master over us? We are our own master, and we don't have to give account to anyone for our behavior. This really bothers David. And so he prays that God would cut off all these flattering lips. And you today, who confess Christ, need to be aware of the overpowering insincerity that surrounds you. People honor vileness. Worthlessness and shamefulness characterize much of what they say. And did you notice that it is the immoral people that make the headlines? Just glance at the covers of all those popular magazines that decorate the checkout counters at Giant Food. Have a look. What you do see emblazoned are pictures of people who live unwholesome lives. Hardly ever do you read, "This person is not committing adultery with anybody." Rather, "Who is committing adultery with whom" seems to be the common theme. That's what sells the tabloids. The insincerity of man. Now, we turn to the sincerity of God. Herein lies the security for which the psalmist prays. David and the people of God need to hear words that they can trust. They need protection from the wicked who oppress them on every hand, often with lying words calculated to lull their prey to sleep. They are cheated in the marketplace. Their possessions are plundered. The insincerity of the wicked plagues the righteous, so that they are driven to poverty and can only groan for help. And the hope in which they may rest is exactly this, that Yahweh will ascend from his throne and do something about it. He will not remain seated when his people suffer. I will arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. Now, we may not be sure of the exact identity of these wicked people that caused such suffering for the people of God. Perhaps it was surrounding nations that regularly oppressed Israel, who were a never-ending source of concern for the biblical prophets and the godly kings whom God had placed over this Old Testament church. Would God's people cave in to their wicked schemes and come under their domination? Certainly that was an ongoing threat that was present throughout Israel's history. But that external threat was not alone. More often than not, lying tongues were found in the mouths even of those who were members of the covenant community. Sad to say, Israel had all too many bad kings, starting with Saul, their first monarch. Time and again, Saul said presumably the right things, but did otherwise. He simply couldn't be trusted to lead the nation in righteousness, and God eventually removed him from his throne. But in the meantime, David personally suffered from Saul's insincerity. Perhaps that is what David is talking about in this psalm. We cannot know for sure. But in any case, he is confident in this one thing: the Lord will keep the righteous safe who trust him. Listen to verse 7. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. This David and his people can confidently affirm, because contrary to the insincerity of man, Yahweh's words may be trusted. And that brings us to verse 6, probably the heart of the psalm. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. The basis of Israel's confidence, and yours today as well, is right there. Contrasted to the words of man, you have the words of God. The children of man use words to exalt themselves. God uses words to exalt himself. You cannot rely on the words of man, but you can rely on the words of God. And there is good reason for this confidence. Whatever God says is pure. He never lies. Man's words are yea and nay. God's words are yes and amen. No falsehood whatsoever is mixed with God's words. All dross is burned away as silver is refined in a furnace. Thus every syllable is perfect and reliable. That's why you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. And when God has gathered together all His words to us and put it in one book, you may be sure that there is no dross in that compilation. Yes, the Bible is true. Absolutely true from cover to cover. You may trust it to say the truth and nothing but the truth. Isn't that wonderful? In the world of man characterized by nothing so much as this, lying, right and left, you have one place to which you can go, sure that you will hear truth. Word of God. That's sincere and will never deceive you. You know, there's a sense in which the ninth commandment is something of a summary commandment. You shall not bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't be insincere. That characterizes the children of man, as Paul says in Romans 3, speaking of people, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Eliza, words matter. Because words display hearts. God's words display Him. And John says, did you ever think about it this way? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And you can trust Him. For He Himself is the proof of God's sincere offer. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're going to have to be more careful not to fall into sin in connection with this summary commandment that forbids lying of any kind. We pray that You will help us to guard our tongues, even as James and other biblical writers so often were to press upon us. This is Your truth, O Lord, and it's needed by us. Because we have lying all around us all the time. We see it in the news. We hear it in the marketplace. And sometimes we even face it in our own families. Oh Lord, we're so sorry when we do it. We pray that You will give us truth. Not only that we might believe it, but that we might express it with our tongues. We ask that You will help us, that You will forgive us, that You will encourage us on the way and give us grace to walk and talk, especially talk, in a way that glorifies You and shows that Your grace resides in our hearts. For Jesus' sake we pray.